The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Then this will be, maybe, so far as I know, the last in a series that we've been going through about the finished work of Christ. And the sermon is titled, It Is Finished. I don't know about you, but I've had an awesome time with this and discovered some new truths and some new things. And if you haven't been here for the series, let me really encourage you to either pick up a CD in the back. Remember, they're free of charge. And if you prefer, you can download them off the Internet. They're all provided for you. So I'd encourage you to do that. And our text that we've used for this series is from the book of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the great sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for the words that have been penned to record these great events, and that you preserve them through the ages, that we would have them this morning in this building. And Father, we just pray that as we study this morning, that your Holy Spirit would teach us the things that we need to know in order to serve you in our daily lives. And we give you the praise and the thanks in the name of Jesus our Savior. And everyone said, Amen. I have a video I want you to watch right now. Remember the big It Is Finished video?
Give me a second.
Talk for a minute. While we're waiting for the video.
I knew he was forgetting something.
What's funny about that is when I started this series 6 or 7 weeks ago, we were going to show this video, and I forgot to tell Jim to show it. So when we started rooting around for it, because I wanted to show it again, and Jim says he had trouble finding it. When he finally found it, he said, well, I know why I'm having trouble finding it, because we didn't show it last time. I said, well, great, then everybody will get to see it this time. And so we're working on having it now. Do you have it, actually?
Yeah, I found it.
You found it?
Just give it a second,
okay. Just startling words of truth in that video, and that really impressed me. This thing that Jesus finished is the very axis upon which the entire universe and all eternity actually rotate. And we are part of that, and we thank God for that, and we are rejoicing in that. That what he has done and he has finished made it possible for you and me to be here today, for you and me to rejoice, for you and me to be able to, in the midst of hard times, to go through the valleys that we go through. This truth of the gospel of grace will impact our lives and change our very lives. The sermons that we preached before was, why is it all about him? And we discovered why the focus of eternity is all about Christ. And we talked about what happens to your sin. And I tell you, if you never hear another sermon that I preach, I encourage you to listen to that sermon about what happens to our sin. It'll help you so very much to understand that our sins have been not only forgiven, but actually obliterated as far as God is concerned. And I've a lot of scripture for you there. We spoke about why you will go to heaven. Why can you know? That is a fact. And 2 weeks ago, we said why you shouldn't fear Judgment Day. People are afraid of judgment. And I think that made it very clear that judgment is something to be rejoicing in, for Jesus was judged so that you and I would not face judgment. So, to wind it up today, we want to talk about why it's a matter of life and death. Why it's a matter of life and death. And let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provisions of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that trespasses might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a powerful statement that is in the book of Romans. And I want us to spend some time this morning going through that. But in a matter of introduction, it really is a black and white issue. It really is an issue without gray and without shades. It's black and white, and because the only thing that really matters is life and death. That's the only thing that really, really matters. The joy of a new birth and the sorrow of someone laid to rest are the only things that really matter. In between is a lot of stuff. Somebody said one time, we're formed out of the dust, we come into this life, life is hard, and then it's back to dust. You know, that's kind of a rough way of saying that's the cycle of life. We're predisposed to think in terms of physical death and physical life. We see it every day. But there's more to life than what we physically see. There's more to death than what we physically see. We don't see electricity, but thank God for it. It's working right now. You can't see radio waves that are going from this microphone I have connected to me to that unit in the back. But they're working and they're going. In fact, if you think about that enough, there are so many, if we had the right kind of radios in here, it's amazing the things that we could hear. And all that stuff is going through this room. God only knows what it's doing going through your body. You think about that. All those things that are buzzing around. I don't know. I'm not a physician or a scientist, but I think about that sometimes. You know, just, wow, what is that that's going through the air? Ever hear a strange sound every once in a while in your ear? Say, what was that? One of them radio beams just blowing through. I used to think it was the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't. I talked to him and said, it's not me. I don't make that kind of noise. What you see are signs of physical life. And their absence is death. In fact, when you die, what the doctors do, they look for signs of life. And if they can't find any, then they declare you dead. One of the things they do now, they used to really, you know, really check your respiratory system and so forth, but now they look for brain waves. Unfortunately for some of us, they might declare us dead before we actually die. We might still be walking around. The brain waves are just really hard to come by. But that's what they look for. I'll give you an illustration, a thing that I read several months ago. It says that there's no such thing as cold or darkness. It's just the absence of heat and the absence of light. You get more darkness by extracting the light out. You get more cold by extracting the heat out. So, when there's this thing of death and life, there's life, and to extract life is death. And I'm going to go into that in a little bit more detail in this message. But the first thing I want to talk to you about is that death begins at birth. Death actually begins at birth. And let's look back at our scripture that we had up on the screen for just a minute, verses 18 and 19. Consequently, and all these underlines and bolds, I've done this for you just so you'd see it. Consequently, just as a result of one trespass, just one, was condemnation for all men. And so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification. Adam was the one who brought sin into the world, and Jesus, of course, is the one who was the act of righteousness. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, there were many made sinners, so through the obedience of the one man, the many were made righteous. Death affects everyone who is alive. You know, anything that's alive is affected, whether it's a plant, whether it's an insect, you know, those things you squish, you know. I think about it. You know, I'm just a little weird, but I think about that sometimes, you know. You know, I just smash a spider or something, and I think, gee, I hope he didn't have a family, you know. I'm just a little weird. I think about that. I think about the fish we catch. I went on a fishing trip. We didn't catch many, but we caught some. And I thought about those little fishes. I was eating them. Thank them for giving their little lives for me. You know, everything dies. I mean, that's just the nature of it. The only thing that can't die is something that's never been born. If it hasn't been born, then it'll never have the opportunity to die. But we see trees die, birds die, fish die, and humans die. The moment life enters into the physical realm, it actually begins the process of dying. That's what life is about. And we see that cycle over and over and over and over again. We tend to believe that we're immortal. We sometimes live that way. There was a young man that I met many years ago who had written a song. It was the number one Christian song. It was for quite some time. And the name of the song was, "I've Got Plenty of Time." And in the story, the song, he says that he got up and went to church on Sunday, heard the same old sermons he'd heard time and time before, you know, making money was sinful, you know, and having fun was a crime. He said, "I'm not worried about it. I've got plenty of time." Found out he didn't have plenty of time. The story was based on a true story. The song was based on a true story. A friend of mine that I had met was really fired up for the Lord, and what he had done, and he actually showed me his Bible, that, you know, those blank pages in your Bible, he began to lead people to the Lord on his college campus, and whenever he'd lead someone to the Lord, he'd make them sign his book, or he'd write their name in his book, and he just had pages and pages of names, you know, squinched in small print. And he had talked to this one college student and asked him, you know, if he wanted to receive Christ into his life. The guy said, "No." I said, "Man, I got plenty of time to worry about that." And Ralph said, "Well, I'll just leave a space here to fill your name in." The boy died before he ever had his name written in Ralph's Bible. And I don't know that he ever had his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have plenty of time. We live that way. And the truth is that there isn't plenty of time. There's today. And that's all we've got. And that's why it's important that we make our plans for death while we're alive and while we have the ability to do that. The moment sin entered into this world, death entered along with it. And everything and every human will die. Now, how do I know that? Because God said that. It's not my experiences that are important. What's important is that what God said it. You know, we're trying all kinds of ways in science to maintain life. You can get frozen if you want. Hey, they can freeze you, put you in a vat, you know, and plug you in the wall, and they'll watch over you as long as somebody's paying the bill to keep you going. Of course, if you don't pay, they'll make sure you defrost and die. You know, I mean, that's part of the deal. But they're trying all kinds of ways. They've been able to resuscitate people who they thought were dead. You know, we've heard stories of kids falling in swimming pools and they've been able to bring them back. They've done a lot of things, you know, and they've got these little shock treatments. They can, you know, put the little things on you and bring you back to life, you know, get your heart beating again. There's a lot of things you can do. But you know what? The death rate is still what it was before. It's still 100%. You know? It's still everybody is old Bud Pomez, who just come to our church, used to say, ain't nobody getting out of this place alive. You know, so that's the reality, but it's because God said to Adam, when you disobey, when you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Now, the great adversary of mankind showed up in the form of a serpent, who was Satan himself, and he said, that's not true. That's not true. Cast doubt on what God had said. That's his job. He's always casting doubt on what God said. And he said, that is not true. You will not die. So Eve and Adam decided to believe the serpent instead of believing God, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me ask you a question. Is what God said true or false to Adam? How do you know that? Because Adam died. Adam died. What God said what happened to Adam actually took place. He died. No one can change that fact. You can't change it. You can take all your money, all the money in the world, it will not buy your life. You will die. That's just it. You can pray all you want. You can ask God, God, don't let me die. God, don't let me die. God, don't let me die. You're going to die. A couple of examples, like Hezekiah in the Bible, God gave him an additional 15 years. When you read the story of him, he probably shouldn't have got those 15 years because he got into stuff he shouldn't have gotten into. God can give you some extra time, but sooner or later, that's going to happen. The cause of death is sin. I want you to listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Sin entered the world and death came with it. That's the issue, friends. That's the issue. So often we're concerned about behavior. You know, we're worried about what we do or what we don't do, what we should have done, what we could have done, all of those things. What matters is life and death. And it's a cold, hard fact of reality that each of us will face death. The question is, when you face it, will you be victorious or will you just face another thing I'll talk to you about in a few minutes called the second death? Everyone needs to face that. You know, this is not very popular. I don't hear a whole lot of sermons about this, you know, from some of the mega churches. Nobody wants to talk about it. You just want to ignore it. In fact, we make up little words and phrases to kind of, so we don't have to face it. We say, he passed away. We don't want to say he died, he just passed away. My brother-in-law told me one time, he said he'd like to go around the Baptists because they had a great face. He said, he used to say, he's going to glory. You know, that sounds so much better than somebody died. You know, we just go on to glory. So we make up, because we're kind of ignoring the fact. We don't want to see it. We don't want to deal with it. The only people who ever really face the reality of that, and some of you sitting in this room, this is, you're going to say, ouch, but some of you really, or face death in this issue. You will not get in a plane. You're scared to death to fly. Because you know if that puppy goes down, you're going to die. So that's when you face the reality of it. I heard about the old man who was traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast to visit his son. First time he ever flew on a plane. He was scared to death to get in a plane. But he got on board that plane and he flew across the country. And his son was waiting for him. It was a non-stop flight. And when his dad got off the flight, and his son said to him, well, Papa said, that wasn't so bad, was it? You know, he said, did you have a good flight? He said, I never did trust that thing. I didn't put my whole weight down on the seat. You know, people are afraid in that kind of situation. And I put this in my note. I don't know what I was thinking when I put this in my notes, but I put it out here. Even the ACLU can't change that fact. I don't know what I have those in my mind for, but nothing is going to change that fact. So that brings me to the second point of our sermon this morning. And that is that eternal life overcomes death. Eternal life overcomes death. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. The law was added. By the way, I don't want to preach the last week's sermon. For those of you who are wondering about the law was added, and it ended with Christ when he came. The law was added so that the trespasses might increase. You mean that God did put the law here so that everybody would sin more? He put the law here so that everybody would know that they were sinning, that they would know about it. Paul says in, chapter 7 of Romans, he said that when I tried to obey the law, I found out I was doing more things wrong. You know, it just enlightened it. So the law was added, the trespasses might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Now, isn't that an interesting phrase? So that just as sin reigned in death, I like that word, sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at this. So that grace might reign through what? Righteousness. Okay? Now, most folks see that and say, oh, well, that means that, you know, if I'm good enough, I'll be all right. That is not your righteousness. Read the rest of the sentence. Righteousness to bring eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the righteousness that we receive that allows us to reign in eternal life is something that we receive from Christ Himself. It's not our behavior, not you being good enough, not you being holy enough, but it's about what He has done for you. And I don't, you know, I don't want to belabor the point, but for some reason we have difficulty receiving that. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like we want to make sure we're good enough to get to heaven, or we want to be bad enough to get to hell, but we don't want anything to God to be in the mix of that thing, of what He's done. Sin reigns in death. That's it. You know, they talk about kings reigning over their empire. Sin rules over its empire, and its empire is death. Nothing ever died before sin entered the world. The plants didn't die. The trees didn't die. The birds of the air didn't die. The beasts of the field didn't die. There was no death that we know of in the world. But when sin entered the world, this diabolical thing called death that affects all of our lives entered into the world. I was sharing with someone this morning. I went to see that movie, Mandy and Me. Is that Mandy? Is that right? About the Marley and Me. And I didn't know the story, but I hate to tell the end of the story now in case you want to go see the movie. Oh, well, it's just not that good a movie anyway. But at the end of the movie, the dog dies. Well, man, they had some little kids in there who didn't know that, and they were sobbing. It was just, man, it was horrible. I mean, if it had been my child I'd brought to see the movie about the dog and the dog died, my kid was going to the trauma, you know, I'd be upset about it. But that's what happened. Sin has caused that to happen. You see that? That was God said, the day you do this, you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. God said, don't do that. They did. Here we are, facing this reality. But grace reigns, that same word, grace reigns through righteousness to bring what? Eternal life. Now, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, I love God. He's so smart. And it's good to know God is smart. I mean, that helps, all right? Just in case you might get confused about this issue, He doesn't say, bring me back there for a minute, Jim. He doesn't say righteousness to bring life through Jesus Christ. He said bring eternal life. So He wanted you to know that this is the way of escape of this thing that entered into the world, this thing of death, that you could have eternal life. Now, how long is eternity? Pretty long. I'll let you know when I get there. I'm already experiencing it, but I don't know. That means you better love me, honey, if you're going to heaven. We're going to be together for a long time. It's going to be a long time. I ain't going away. We're going to be there together forever. Who said that big amen? Thank you, Miss Barbara. I love you, darling. Looking forward to that. Death reigned in sin, but eternal life reigns in Christ. The good news is that you don't have to die when you die. Come on, now that's good preaching. You don't have to die when you die. I did a funeral service for a friend of mine's dad many years ago up in Mississippi someplace. I think it was up in Hattiesburg. And I guess maybe I was the first charismatic Pentecostal funeral they had ever seen. And I was excited because this guy knew the Lord. And I just preached an exciting, vibrant message. And the funeral director came to me after the services. I was getting ready to leave. I was in my car. And he came to me. He stuck his head in my car. He said, "You're not Baptist, are you?" I guess he was used to hearing it going to glory, And I was a little beyond that. It's a time of rejoicing because death does not have victory over those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, when we saw the devastation not too many years ago of Hurricane Katrina, and we looked at everything and we saw lives lost, property lost, dreams and hopes devastated, old people who had saved all their lives and had their home paid for and now were wondering how they were going to get by the next day. And it looked like there was no hope. But hope showed up in a flood of love and benevolence that came from people around the world to encourage us. Well, that's kind of a poor example, but that's exactly what happens. When you look at the earth and you look at what was going on and everything's decaying, everything is dying, there's thorn and thistles all over that never existed before and everything seemed absolutely hopeless, but God's promise and God's word to Adam and when he put him out of the garden is that help was on the way. And help showed up in the cradle of Mary with Jesus and Jesus on the cross, that you and I could have life and have eternal life and be victorious over this thing of death that had overtaken the world. Hallelujah. That's what He did for us. Believers are assured of two unchangeable facts. Two unchangeable facts. First of all, that they are given eternal life by Jesus. That's a fact. That's a fact that's not going to change. You might change your mind, but God won't change His. It's just like being born into this earth. You might get here and say, "Man, I wish I wasn't here." No, you're here. Like getting eternal life. You might say, "Well, I'm tired of church. I don't want to do that anymore." Well, I'm sorry. You received the gift of God, eternal life, beating in you. And some of you, that just scares you to death. You say, "What is he talking about? I'm talking about eternal life." Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid to think about that. Don't be afraid that you receive that concept. Resurrected eternal life that you get in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing. The second thing is, this is an unchangeable fact, is death cannot have victory over Jesus' eternal life. It can't have victory over it. We live in a physical realm, and we think with a physical mind, and we miss the whole glory of it all. That we are more than physical beings. There's more to you than meets the eye. I'm going to keep doing it until I quit preaching or die, one of the two, all right? But I'm going to tell you, folks, you don't know who you are until you get a revelation of who you are in Christ. You are not what you appear to be. There's life coursing in you. See these flowers? There's life still coursing in these flowers. Now, they've been cut off from the source and they're going to die. They're going to wither. but there's life in there. You can't see that life, but there's life there. I can't see your life. I can see evidence that you're alive. You're breathing. You're moving. You're thinking. Some of you, it's hard, but you're thinking, you know. You're laughing. You know, there are signs of life. But I can't see your life. I can't see your eternal life. The only thing I can see your eternal life with the Spirit of God dwelling in me, letting me know that you are alive. There's more to you. There's glory in you. Our dear sister Rosalie, she is radiant with life today. She's glowing with that same, I don't have the vocabulary, it's the life of Christ that's in her that is seen in its full reality today. And I know when Rosalie got on the other side, Denise, I know she said, "Whoa, Pastor Morris knew what he was talking about." But we need to begin to see ourselves that way, beloved. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you interact with God, the way you interact with other people. That resurrection life, that eternal life that exists in you. Ephesians 2:5 says this, "He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead." Did you know that until you become a believer that you are dead and your trespasses and sin? Now, he's not talking about your physical death. He's talking about that life that we can't see. There's no life there. There's darkness inside of you. It's like the earth was in the very beginning in Genesis, where darkness covers the face of the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And light and life began to revolve around the earth. In the same way, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and you were made alive in Christ Jesus. You have life. It doesn't matter what happens to your physical body. I know you're worried about it. You don't want bad diagnosis from the doctor. You don't want to wake up feeling bad. And I know you protect it. We do everything we can to preserve and protect life. And that's good. But I'm telling you what, when you become a believer, you have a new life that cannot be extinguished. It cannot be eliminated. It cannot be cut down because you've been made alive by Christ. Birth leads to death. The new birth leads to eternal life. You must be born again. Whoa, what a great word from Jesus when he was talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, with all of his wisdom, he was like most of the people in churches today, and he said, "Does that mean I crawled in my mother's womb? And you're born a second time?" And Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So I'm talking about something spiritual. And Nicodemus, I wasn't there, but I can just see him. I know human beings. He probably scratched his head and thought, "What is he talking about? What is he talking about?" He finally got it, though. He finally figured it out. Finally came to the realization of what Jesus was talking about. That physical being that you are is decaying daily, but your spirit is growing daily. You are growing in life day by day, just as these plants grow and grow and grow. But in the physical realm, they grow so far and then they turn and die. But in the spiritual realm, you grow and you grow and you grow. In fact, the scriptures talk and says that God wished that you would prosper even as your soul prospers, as your innermost being prospers. The curse of sin was broken at the cross. It was broken at the cross. It was broken at the cross. That's why Jesus said it is finished. The power of sin was ended right there. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians, "Death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" That's why Paul came up with new words to help us. When he talks about the rapture in church, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but he says, when those who are asleep won't precede us. What is he doing? He's not. People have this idea, well, they're just kind of sleeping and waiting for something to happen. No, he's saying their physical body. He didn't want to say they were dead either. He didn't like that word either. Because he knew that their physical body may be in the grave, but that their life is in the hands of Jesus Christ. That they have life permeating them. And the grave can't hold life. Only God has life. Third thing I want to talk to you about is death won't live forever. Death won't live forever. This will make you shout. First, by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man. How much more so will those who receive God's abundant provisions of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now, I know it's unpopular to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I've been known to say unpopular things. There's only one place to receive eternal life, and that's in Christ Jesus. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't buy it at a store. You can't buy it at the church. You know, you can't create it in an oven. You can't put it in a test tube. You can't. The only way to find eternal life is in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, all of our scientists, with all their wonders and all their molecules that they fool with and all the things they can do, they can't create life. They can't do it. They haven't figured out how to do that. What was that joke about the guy, the atheist, who said that he wanted to have his conversation with God? Oh, it's the devil who it was. He had a conversation with God, and he wanted to create a man, you know, like God did. And so he reached out on the earth, and he picked up some dirt, and God slapped his hand and said, "Get your own dirt." Well, even the devil can't do that with all of his power. Life comes from God. He's the author of life. Death came from the enemy through sin. And God saw our terrible condition we were in without hope. Ephesians says that one time you were in the world without God and without hope. And God sent His Son who laid down His glory, became a man, lived on this earth, suffered the cruel cross of Calvary, died, rose from the dead, so that you could believe in that fact and put your trust in Him and you could have eternal life. Amen. That's the promise of God. That's good news. Amen. You find somebody who doesn't know God, they're laying on the bed and they're dying, and they said, "I've got a way for you to live forever." And they would think you had some kind of new medical drug, some shot you could give them to make them live forever. You say, "No, you can receive Christ in your life." You say, "Well, I don't know about that." So we'll just go ahead and die. Because that's what will happen to you without Christ. Christ gives us life. And death won't last forever. Life can't die, and death can't live. That life we have can't die, and death can't live. Death reigned in sin, now life reigns in grace. There's not enough sin to take Christ's life. Hallelujah. It couldn't take His life. And He said, "No man takes my life from me." He said, "But I give it freely." Amen. Free gift. "For by grace are you saved. Through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift." It's a gift. You don't deserve it. Say, "Well, you know, I'm good enough. You know, I go to church, you know, and, you know, I give my tithes, and, you know, I don't murder anybody, and, you know, I do all these good things. Well, surely God will let me into heaven." I won't make it. It's a gift of God. The only way you receive it is by faith. Say, "Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't understand that." You don't understand electricity. You don't understand what makes your car run because you drove it here. You're using faith. You don't know what makes that chair hold you up. You don't understand the physics of that. Unless you're a physicist, and I don't think there are any in this room that I know of. You don't understand the physical world. How you propose to understand the spiritual world. That's what Nicodemus had a conversation with Jesus about. I don't even understand it. I just preach it. I don't understand electricity, but I use it every day. I don't know how a car works, but I know how to drive it. And those are physical things that don't matter. We've learned to live without electricity during Katrina. We learned to live without air conditioning. It was hot. We learned to do without a lot of things. But you can't get along without eternal life. You just can't. There's not enough death to kill Christ in the life you have. There's not enough death in the world to take eternal life. There's not enough. It is not strong enough. Jesus said it's finished. I want you to listen to this out of Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life. Now, why do you think the Bible says that I'm convinced that neither death nor life? Because it's trying to tell us something, right? I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, nor any height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. Nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you tell me what will separate you. You tell me what it is. You explain it to me. You're bigger than God. You're stronger than God. Your sins are more powerful than God. You have more control over the universe than God does. You have more control over eternity than God does. Listen, friends, I choose life and I choose Christ and I choose to believe that for you too.
Amen.
Life that reigns in you gives you hope for today and for tomorrow. What an awesome promise that is for us. To give us joy. To give us a sense of well-being. To give us hope beyond measure. So that one day, and I told this to the congregation that was here yesterday, you owe it to your family for them to know what happens to you when you die. They need to know. They need to know that you were a believer and that there's hope to see you again. Or they need to know there's no sense in ever hoping to ever see you again, because you'll never see God. You owe the truth. And those of you who've lost loved ones in this room, you know what I'm talking about. You know what the hope that beats in your bosom for someone that you laid to rest that you know you'll get to see one day. It gives you hope to know that they're in a better place, out of this place of sin and death and destruction that's all around us. Miss Rosalie told me just a couple of weeks ago, standing right back there where Liz is, and she told me, she said, Pastor, she said, I'm just getting tired of this place. I'm just tired of it. I don't like what I see anymore. And that's, many of us have felt the same way. Little did we know that she would see our Lord in just a short few days after that, a few weeks after that. This thing about death, now this is where even the Baptists will begin to shout. The Presbyterians will shout. The Episcopalians will stand up and say hallelujah. You know, everybody will get in on the program. Because after the great white throne judgment, which I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, after the new believers, after the believers are in the new Jerusalem, when we're walking around in the streets of gold and dancing and rejoicing with all of our loved ones, you know, after that has already taken place, after Satan has been thrown into the lake of fire, goodbye, snapple and crack all the way, just pop away, you know, we're glad to see him go. I'm not worried about him suffering for all eternity. He needs it. After the unbelievers are thrown into the lake of fire, God have mercy on their souls. It's too late. They rejected the truth. Jesus will take care of one more piece of business. One more thing that needs to be done. Oh, hallelujah. The thing that has plagued you all of your life, from losing your pet hamster, your pet dog, or your pet cat, to your husband, to your wife, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister, to your children. When this death has affected you every day of your life since you've been born, it says that Jesus takes care of one last piece of business. He said, death is thrown into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Woo! There'll be no more death and no more dying for those who believe. We'll be enjoying it. I don't know that we'll get to see it, but I think there'll be a news report on a television broadcast in heaven on Jesus' channel, and it'll say, death has just been thrown into the lake of fire. And the lid will be put on it, and that's the end of the story. Now, why did I tell you all that? Because it is. You don't need to do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I said, well, what if, don't I have to? No, you don't have to do anything. There's no buts in that sentence. You don't have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but, or there's no and to it, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's just too simple. Well, thank God it's so simple. Because if it depends on you doing something, if your salvation includes Jesus Christ and something you're going to do, you will, as they say down at the Baptist church, I don't know why I'm picking on the Baptist today, you'll bust hell wide open, as they say. I came up to the Baptist church, I guess I could talk about them. I got Baptist papers, as they say. I've been thrown out of Baptist churches, too.
We love the word.
Hallelujah. I'm not picking on them. But I'm here to tell you that God has done something for you that requires the act of your will to believe. And so just in case somebody's listening to this or someone's sitting here and say, oh, well, that means I can go out and do whatever I want to do. You can do whatever you want to do. If you get born again, you're going to find a lot of things that you want to do have nothing to do with what you're thinking about today. It'll change the way you are. He'll find out that the sin that you thought you could get away with, you don't even want to do anymore. People are worried about that all the time. Well, what if I do this? Man, that's God's deal. The scriptures are very clear that those who are in Christ will not, go read 1 John, says you will not continue in that sin. You may be fighting it. You may have a war against it. You may be warring against pornography. You may be warring against bodily things. You may be warring against, a lot of things in your life. But as long as the war is going on, there's hope. When there's no war, then I worry about whether you're a believer or not.
That's right.
But if you're a believer, there's a war, and God will give you the victory. We don't get the victory over everything right away. But what we do get the victory over is we get the victory over death, hell, and the grave through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Got myself all excited. Oh, hallelujah. Preach myself happy. You know, I'm so glad God's given me the privilege and the revelation of this glorious gospel of grace. Because it is such a life. It changed my life. Changed my understanding. And I have the privilege of presenting it to you. That you can hear it and think about it. And for some of you, maybe it's the first time you begin to think about these things. But I want you to seriously consider this thing of Jesus Christ and life and death, because it's the most important thing. There's no guarantees that you're going to be here tomorrow morning. There's no guarantees. The question is, where will you truly be? Will you be facing eternity of life? Or will you be facing that second death? That's what the book of Revelation says. It calls it the second death. If you're born twice, born as the flesh and born of the spirit, you only get to die once. If you're only born once of the flesh, you get to die twice. You'll die in the physical realm and you'll die in eternity. It's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Pretty serious stuff. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for life that's in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that everyone that's listening to this today, that it would just become a revelation to them. And Lord, I don't know everyone that's in this room today, that whether or not they've received Christ into their life. And what I'd like to do is just to lead all of you in a prayer of salvation. And just pray out loud. If you're already a believer, just pray it out loud again. And if you're not, and you pray sincerely in your heart, the scriptures say that you will be born again with your faith in Jesus Christ. So let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And we confess that we have failed you, that we failed ourselves. And we realize that death is at our door, knocking to receive us. So right now, as best I know how, I turn from my sin. I turn to you. I ask you to come into my life. I believe that Jesus lived.
I believe that Jesus lived.
That he died.
That he died.
That he rose from the dead.
That he rose from the dead.
And based on that faith, I turn my life over to you.
I believe that right now,
I received eternal life.
And
that I will live with you
forever and ever.
Help me to serve you
with
the time I have left.
In
Jesus'
name I pray.
Amen.
And amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time, maybe you've prayed it before, but you really meant it this time, I'd like you to let me know. I'm not into raising hands and walking aisles. If you want to raise your hand and walk the aisle, that's fine. But I do ask you to do something for me that's very unique. Some of you don't know me, but this arm over here doesn't work too well because it's made out of plastic and little computers and that. But it's kind of fun because you can tap it and it makes a little noise. And I'd like you to give me a tap on my arm and let me know that you prayed and received Christ into your life. Now, a lot of people tap me once and it's because they know me, but I want you to tap me twice just so I'll know for sure that you received Christ into your life. And just tap me twice just so I'll know. It'll make me feel good. I won't embarrass you. I might hug you, but that's okay. I hug everything around here. So thank you for being here today. We have some refreshments, and we have a song that we're going to end on, and it is an awesome song.
You want to say anything about
it? Oh! Next week will be a surprise to you that will shock your socks off. Either Doug White or Jack Taylor or Morris St. Angelo will be preaching here next Sunday. And I don't know who. Jack and Doug are going to be at Resurrection Life Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week. In fact, it's in your bulletin. I encourage you to go to Resurrection Life. These are outstanding men of God. I mean, they really are great preachers. And I told Alan, who's the pastor of Resurrection Life, that I wanted one of those boys to come down here and preach for us next Sunday. I haven't heard back. I don't know whether Alan's ignoring me or what, or he's trying to organize it. But if I can, one of those guys is going to come preach for us next Sunday morning. If not, I'll be preaching for you. I'm sorry. You just have to deal with it. But thank you, Jim, for reminding me of that. And let's...
Ring.
Yeah. Oh, incredible.
And they will bless you to the souls you see. So if you can, bring somebody with you to hear them. They're unbelievable. Either one of them, whoever shows up.
Amen. Jack Taylor was the number one author of Christian books for many, many years throughout the world. And he's an excellent guy. And Doug White was the pastor of a giant church in Texas.
And we'll be going all weekend. So it's Friday night?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Yeah, we'll party our way up there. Okay, you can do it now, Jim. We're going to sing and it's finished.
There's a line that is drawn down through the ages. And on that line there stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging. For the gate of man's soul, or is lost. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons, all the devils of hell, but on the other, the angels of glory. And they meet God's got this hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cries, it is finished, the battle is over, it is finished, there will be no of war had come home. These were battlefields of my own making.